Begin the current daf Masechta Baba Basra daf Lamadal. Begin on the bottom of daf Lamad Gimel Mabez, 9 lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the theme of these dafim, which are talking about the halachas of our parak regarding Cheskas Abatim, taking possession of a land without any documentation, just by showing that, look, I've been here for 3 years, no one ever said anything, therefore I don't have to hold on to my documentation, and just the fact that no one protested would indicate that this is my field. So the Gemara introduces different incidents that highlight different halachas related to this topic. Someone said to his friend, "My boy is Bahai Ara. What are you doing in this land?" Insinuating that this is my land, you don't belong here. Amalei, so he said to him, "What do you mean, minach zamnas? I bought this land from you. And I've been eating on this land for, I've already consumed the produce of the years of possession, which are 3 years, and therefore I can just claim as I am that I bought it and I don't have to bring documentation." Now, which is similar to what the Gemara had said in the previous daf regarding a situation where someone brought two witnesses that he had it for 2 years, which wasn't good enough. You got to have two witnesses that he had it for 3 years. Here, similar, he had one witness that he had it for 3 years, and he couldn't find a second witness that he had it for those 3 years. So says the Gemara, Savar Abana Kameda Abaye Lamemer. So the rabbis who were sitting in front of Abaye thought to say that what would be the halach in this situation? Hainu nascha de rababa. This would be exactly like was the situation, what's known is in the yeshivas as nascha de rababa, which is the silver plate, the silver ingot of rababa. Now, as Rashbam points out, that what it means to say is that this halacha is similar to that of nascha de rababa, but not that it's coming to say that we would have to learn the halacha from that incident by rababa, because it's pretty obvious that this guy would have to pay the land back to the owner, since he doesn't have two witnesses proving that he had it for 3 years. He only has one witness saying that it was for 3 years, which is not enough. Rather, it just means to say that we could compare it to that of Rabab. But moreover, a different interpretation that we're going to use that the Rashbam says is that actually, no, there was an integral part of this case for the halacha to learn that from the law of Nascha de Rababa, because it was coming to teach, thought the Rabbanan of Rababa, that not only does he have to give the land back, but he has to give the land with the produce back to that owner. Because now it's going to be as if, as we'll see, that there are witnesses who say not only that it's not his land, but that he's actually that he ate the produce of that land, because he has one witness who saw him the last 3 years eating the produce of the land. Now, the reason that this is significant, because if there would be no witnesses, let's say not even one witness at all, then you would not have to pay back the produce of the land, as we had learned previously on the previous daf from the incident of Rav Nachman, that since the person could say that, yeah, I ate, but I ate my own, and migui, I could have said I didn't eat anything at all, but very minimal, just to create a chazaka, and therefore there he would only have to give back the land itself. What they wanted to show from this halacha of Nascha Baba, as we're going to illustrate, is that really when there's one aid, which you're stuck with the requirements of what the one aid demands and you cannot fulfill that, then since you cannot make the oath, you're going to have to pay as if there's two witnesses, which if there's two witnesses that there was a piece of land here that you were eating inappropriately from, you have to go ahead and give not only the land back, but also the produce back. So what's this halacha of Nascha de Rababa that they wanted to compare the two? Was that who gavered with a certain individual, the chotev Nascha mechaber. He grabbed a silver ingot, a piece of silver, block of silver from his friend. So Asla came to Rabami. So he came in front of Rabami to complain about this guy who stole this piece of silver from him. Now, Haba Yosef Rab Abba came. This is where it becomes significant. What Rab Abba was, what his response to the dilemma was. That's what's called Nascha de Rab Abba. It wasn't his own, but he was on the Beis Din that at he was sitting there in front of the court case. Now, Aisichat Sahada the Michtiv Chad Feminei. So the claimant, the plaintiff, came and brought one witness to show that he was there when this guy grabbed it out of my hand. So Amalei, so the defendant, the one who had grabbed it away, said, "In yes, chatfi, I did grab it away from him. Vedidi chatfi, but it was mine that I grabbed it away." So Abba Rabami, so regarding this case, Rabami said, who it was posed in front of him, as we continue to talk of Lamadal Manav, he says, "Heichin nedaynunu dayyanu lahaydina. How should the judges judge and litigate such a case?" What was his question? His question was as follows. Had there been two witnesses who testified that he grabbed it from this other person, we would obligate him to pay it back to that person. Because no person is trustworthy to, when he grabs something away from his friend, to say that, "Oh, I grabbed my own thing." unless if he has witnesses that it was his. Because we say that what's called hemen mamal chaskasei. The money retains its chazaka, and here the one who is holding it up until now, we say whatever person holds, he's the muchzik, that it's his. A person cannot just come and grab it away from him without any proof. So therefore, the one who would grab it away, if there's two witnesses who saw him grab it away, he'd be considered an outright gazlan, a thief, and then we'd have to give it back. Now, let's say there wasn't even one witness who saw him grab it away. So then the halacha would be obvious too, that when he says that, yes, I grabbed it, but I grabbed my own, then actually we would believe him because of a migui, because he could have said that, no, I didn't grab it away. And we see him holding it right now, so he would be the muchzik, and he would be able to hold on to it. So even though he says that he grabbed it, we believe him that he grabbed his own. That's if there were no witnesses at all. Now, however, let's say there is one witness who, as in this case, saw him grab it away. Now, let's say he would deny what the one witness is saying. It's not true, he says. I didn't grab it away. So then the halacha would also be an obvious halacha. He would have to swear that he didn't grab it away to refute the testimony of the one witness, because the halacha is when one witness says something, he's not like two witnesses who could require the obligation. Rather, he demands from the defendant to take an oath. So that would be the obvious halacha. So in these three situations, it would be obvious what the halacha would be. But here, the situation was that one witness said that he grabbed it away. And this defendant is not denying what the witness is saying. He's admitting that, yes, I grabbed it, but I grabbed my own. So that's what Rabbami's question was. How should the judges litigate this case? And he explains, what are our options? Lishalim, if you're going to say that now he should have to pay because he's admitting that he grabbed it away, and therefore he's not believed to say that what he grabbed away was his own, because we should retain that the chazaka was with the one who had it up until now, that it was his. So if he's admitting that he grabbed it away, he should have to pay. And that says the Gemara, says Rabbami, that no, like a trace ahadi. But we don't have two witnesses who are verifying that he grabbed it away. And therefore, since it's really his own admission that's admitting that he grabbed it away, what's called migui, but since if he wanted to, he could have said that I didn't grab it away, should we believe him that he grabbed his own thing? So if you're going to say based on that, lift a race, then we should exempt him from paying because of this migui. But you can't say that either, because ikachad zahada. But there is the testimony of the one witness who is testifying that he grabbed it away. And therefore, if he were to go with that migui and say that I did not grab it away, then he would have to swear to refute that one witness. So if you're going to say, okay, based on that, so lishtabeya, so let him swear the oath that the one witness is obligating him in, on that the halach is that he cannot. Because ha'amar mechtev chatfa, he admits that he grabbed it away. Now, the one witness, his obligation of the oath from his testimony would be that the defendant would have to swear that he didn't grab it away to refute the witness. Because that's the understanding of the pasuk in Devarim Yotesh that says, lo yokum eid echad be'ish, that one witness cannot stand up in a court of law against the person, l'chalovin, l'chalchatas, for any sin, etc. Which is that for the payment of money that he's denying, the one witness is obligating him, what says in the pasuk, lo yokum, that he cannot go ahead and obligate him to pay the money, but he does stand up to require the defendant to take an oath. Now, what does that mean? To refute what the one witness is saying, that he's saying you grabbed it, and okay, he would take an oath that he didn't grab it to become obligated in this monetary obligation. But regarding this oath, the problem is that v'kivin the amar de chatfa, since he's admitting, he's saying, yes, I grabbed it away, so havalei kigazlin, now what does that mean, he's like a gazlin? What that means to say is, this individual in this situation is like, just like a gazlin regarding all oaths. The halach is, he cannot take an oath, we don't trust the thief. Here, similarly, we cannot make him take an oath that what he grabbed away was his own, because there is no obligation of this oath on him, because that's not the oath that demanded from the one witness. The obligation of the oath of the one witness is to refute him. He's saying, you grabbed it. He's saying, okay, so if I denied you and I said I didn't, so that's what I would swear, that I didn't, and then I'd be believed. But I'm admitting to what you say. So I don't have an oath to say, oh, but what I grabbed was my own. Now, but the problem also then becomes, but to exempt him without anything, you can't do that either, because ultimately, his migui, which is to say that I could have said I didn't grab it away, that migui really doesn't, it's not so strong, because there's a flaw in that, because you can't say that because you're being refuted by one witness. But you can't swear what he's making because you're not denying what he's saying. So therefore, that was Rabbami's conundrum about, so what? How do we go over here? How do we resolve this halacha? That is Amar either Lei or Lehu Rebaba. So Rebaba said to him, and that's why it's called by Naskal Rebaba, he says, you know what ends up happening now? You're right, it is a conundrum. Hava, but what it is that now this person who grabbed it away is Mechuv Shavuya. Ultimately, he's obligated an oath because the one witness is demanding something, which he can't swear because he's not denying what the one witness said. But neither can he then go ahead and be believed in the Migah because that's being refuted by the Eidacha. And what happens is, any oath that a person that is obligated in, but he can't swear, where in this case he can't swear because he actually admits to what the one Eid is saying, Mishalim, he has to end up paying. That's the halacha where you have the obligation of the oath. You can't take it for whatever technical reason it is. So then you're stuck. The one aid still has that demand and requirement on you. And until you're able to neutralize that shvuah, you're still obligated in the payment. And therefore, said Rebaba, this guy who grabbed it away will have to pay back the nascha, the silver ingot, to the person that he grabbed it away from. That was the incident, what's known as nascha the Rebaba. And that says the Rabbanan in front of Abaya, what they wanted to say is that the same thing you could say over here in this situation as follows. Had there been two witnesses that this person had eaten on the field for the 3 years that he claims he was there, so then we would have given it to the Lekech because he would have established a Chazakah. If there would have been no witnesses at all that he ate on the field the years of Chazakah that he's claiming, so we would have removed it from him and we would have given back to the original owner because he doesn't have witnesses to prove that he had a Chazakah. If there would have been one witness that would testify that he ate it for 3 years, so then the halacha would be as whenever you have one aid, he would have to take a shvuah, because that's the halacha that one aid, one witness, requires an oath from the defendant. Now, even if it wouldn't be a piece of land, the halacha would be that he wouldn't be able to take a shvuah regarding what the one aid is testifying, because same thing like the case of Naskal Rebaba, the defendant is not denying that. He admits that he ate from the produce of the field for those 3 years. But he's claiming, yes, I ate it, but I ate my own. And therefore, what they wanted to say was that just like by Naskar Rebaba, that Mitech She'en Yechle Shava is Mishalim, so to over here, they wanted to say is the same thing. Since this guy cannot take an oath in regard to what the one witness is saying that he ate on there for 3 years, which, since he doesn't have witnesses that he had, two witnesses that he had for 3 years, so it's not his own land, so therefore he has to pay the produce, but he's saying, no, I did eat the produce, but it's mine, so therefore he cannot take a shvuah to refute him, because he's admitting to what the one aid is saying, so since he can't take a shvuah, he has to pay for the produce. That's what the Rabban in front of Abaye wanted to say. On that, Amlahu Abaye. So Abaye responded to the Rabban, and he says, no. Me dummy? Is our case comparable to that of Rebaba? It's not. Why? Hasam over the Rebaba. By that one sahada, by that one witness, he was coming to create a flaw, a problem, for the one who had grabbed it away. That's what he was coming for. Because what was he testifying? He was testifying that he saw this guy grab it from this person. So what he was intending to do with that testimony was to make it worse for the one who grabbed it, which that weakens his migui. If there wouldn't have been one witness around, so the guy who grabbed it would have been believed, even when he says he grabbed it, that he grabbed his own, because he has a kayachatayin, he has a migui. He could have said, well, I didn't grab it. And who knows better? So he would have won. Now that there's one witness that says, you cannot say that migui, because I'm here, and I saw you did grab it. You can't tell me you didn't grab it. You did. So that obligates him in an oath. So that's what Rebaba said, that since he can't swear because he's admitting, so then he has to pay. But, says Abayim, I'll prove to you this point. By the case of Rebaba, ki ase achrine bahadeh, when, if there would be another person as a witness testifying exactly like the first witness testified, that he also saw this guy grab it away from that other person, which now we have two witnesses saying that he grabbed it from that person, what would happen? Says Abayim, afkinu lamine. We would remove it from the one who grabbed it away, because now actually it wouldn't even help even if he takes an oath, because even if he could swear, it doesn't make a difference. He's not believed to take an oath to exempt himself when two witnesses are saying that they saw him grab it away. Where two witnesses say, so then with Maimon Mamal Chaskase, it goes back to the one who originally owned it. So you see that the one witness who was originally saying that he grabbed it is coming to create a problem for the Chaytiv. Because if another person said the same thing just like him, it would for sure be taken away from the Chaytiv. So therefore, we say that since he can't swear regarding what the one aid is saying, so he has to pay. But says Abaye, Hoch will be here in the case of the land that we're discussing. That one witness who says, yeah, I saw he was here for the past 3 years eating the produce of the field. What's he coming to do? L'siyui ka'asi. He's actually coming to support the defendant. He's coming to testify that, yeah, this guy was machzik in the field the past 3 years. I saw no one said anything. He's been here for 3 years, and therefore he has the rights to it. Now, ultimately, it doesn't help because you need two witnesses. But the point is that ki asa achrinim, if another person, another witness, would come and say exactly the same thing like this first person is saying, what would happen? Mukminin la biyadei. We would actually establish and give the rights to this defendant and give it to the muchzik. So therefore, says Abaya, how are you going to say that through this first witness, you're going to obligate the machzik in an oath, and therefore you want to say, just like by Rababa, since he cannot swear, he has to pay. But what are you talking about? This one witness is not coming to make it bad for him. He's trying to support him. He's just looking for witnesses. Oh, you know I was here for you. Yeah, come, I need you. And he comes to court. He just can't find another guy. Now, yes, he's going to lose the land because he never established two witnesses of a chazakah. But what Abai is telling them is that he's not going to have to pay for the payrus. Because this one witness is not coming to make it bad for him to say, oh, since he can't swear, he's got to pay. He's trying to support him. And therefore, he can't use him as a liability for the machzik, and therefore, he doesn't have to pay for the payrus. Says Abai, it's not like the case of Rababa. But says Abaye, El Idami, Hadir Rababa. But if you want to find a comparison from the case of Naschul Rababa to the types of halachas that we're discussing, I'll tell you what type of case would be comparable. L'chatzahadu l'tartishne. If you have one witness with 2 years, ulipeiri, and the ramifications will be for the produce. What's the case? The case would be, for example, if Reuven comes and claims by Shimon and says, you stole my land. You ate the produce of my land for 2 years. Pay me back. And that Shimon responds to him. He says, what are you talking about? You sold me this piece of land. Now, Shimon, however, does not have witnesses that he was machzik in it for 3 years, where the halacha then is that he has to give the land back to the owner, to Reuven, because he doesn't have edim that he was machzik in it. Now, but regards to the produce, he could swear that what he ate was his own. Why could he do that? Because that's what's known as in halacha as hapesha asahu hapesha heter. His mouth incriminates himself, so therefore his own mouth can undo that and free him. What that means to say is that although he has to give the land back to Reuben, but he does not have to give the produce that he ate for the past years back to Reuben too. And the reason for that is because there are no witnesses that are testifying that he ate the produce. And since he could say that I didn't eat any produce at all, so he could say, based on that migui, that yes, I ate produce, but it was produce that was sold to me, and therefore the only obligation he's going to have is an oath. That's if, let's say, there's no witnesses at all. We're doing that same correlation of the three types of cases, which was presented when Rabbi Ami said, what do we do with such halacha? We have the same thing over here. So that's if there's no witnesses. Let's say there are witnesses that he ate the produce of the field for 2 years. So then he would have to be, he would obligated to give not only the land back, but also the produce. Like Rav Nachman had said on the previous daf, when you have two witnesses that he ate the produce for 2 years, you got to give the land back and the produce back because there's two witnesses testifying that you weren't machzik, you didn't have it for 3 years, and you're eating the produce, which is obviously the other person's produce. Now, but let's say, and that's what Abaye is saying, let's say Reuven brought only one witness that he ate the produce of 2 years. So, for example, let's say he testifies that I saw him on the field and he was only here for 2 years and he was eating the produce of that field. Where that witness is not coming to support Shimon because that's not helping him at all. It's only for 2 years. So it's incriminating Shimon. So Shimon says, oh, you brought me one witness that's you want to get the field back and that I was only here 2 years and I was eating the produce. I owe you the produce too? No, yes, I ate it, but I ate my own produce because I had bought the land and the payrus from you. It's just I wasn't careful with my documentation. But it's mine. And that says the Reuven says, oh, you're making a joke. You want machzik. And machzik is for 3 years. You have no witness. You're here for 3 years. On that, says Abaye, in that case you could compare it to the halacha of Rababa. Because on that, we could say, like Rabami had wondered, how should we judge and litigate such a case? And that is, should we obligate him to pay back the produce? But there are no two witnesses to testify, which in monetary obligations, you have to have two witnesses to verify that he ate the produce that from land that wasn't his. And if regards to the fact that he admits, that he says, yes, he himself says he ate, but he's claiming and saying that, but he ate his own stuff. So in such a situation, that's not an admission to obligate himself because he's saying, but he ate his own. And if you're going to say that, okay, so we should totally exempt him because of amigui, but you can't because there's one witness who's saying that he saw him eat the produce for 2 years. And therefore, he cannot deny the testimony of the witness to swear falsely to make him obligated in the shvu of the Eid Echad because the halacha would be anything that since if there would be two witnesses, we would obligate him to pay the monetary obligations of the payers. The halacha is whenever two witnesses would obligate him monetarily, so one witness obligates him in a shvua, because in this situation, when the one witness is obligating for a shvua, in this situation where if he was denying what the one witness is saying, that's where he would make an oath and say, Lohar Dvar Ma'am, it's not true, and he would swear to that effect, and then he would be believed. But in this situation, he admits to what the one witness is saying, that he did eat. He's just claiming that, yeah, but I ate my own, and therefore he would be obligated in the shvua of the Eidah. But again, as we said, he wouldn't be able to swear because he's not denying what he said, he's admitting. He's just saying, but the ramifications are that I'm not obligated, and therefore that would be exactly like what Rebbe had said, that mitich she'en yoch l'shava, then you're going to be misham. That, says Abai, is going to be comparable. But the case that we had regarding this individual where he had eaten on the field and he brought one witness that he was there for 3 years, where there he's coming to support the defendant, that you can't say that mitich she'en yoch l'shava is mishalem. And if, although he's going to have to give back the land, he's not going to have to give back the payers with the land itself. Now the Gemara continues on Amud Beis with another incident. Again, highlighting these halachas. Hahu arva, there was a boat that was in the river. Tava mintsa alo beitre, that two people were disputing about the ownership of this boat. Hayomer didihi, this guy said, this is my boat. Hayomer didihi, and this guy says, it's my boat. Now, as the Rashbam points out, neither one of them was muhsik in this boat. From the fact, I mean, no one was holding on to it. From the fact that the Gemara doesn't ask from the Mishnah in the beginning of Masechet Baba Metzia regarding Shnayim Echs and Metalis, when one person is holding on to and the other one's holding on to, we say, okay, this guy gets up until where his hand reaches and this guy gets up until where his hand reaches, and we don't say, as the Gemara is saying over here, Kol Dom Gevar, okay, whoever's stronger wins, that is when they're holding on to it. Here, no one's holding on to it, so therefore, and each one is just claiming that it's his, so the halacha would be then Kol Dom Gevar, whoever's stronger wins. But the case went as follows. Asachad minayu lebeidina. So one of the litigants came to the court, Vamar tifsu, and he says, please, court, you take possession of this boat. Ademaisina sahadi didihi, until I get time to bring witnesses to prove that it is my boat, because I'm afraid if the courts don't take possession of this, he's going to sell it before I get a chance to prove that it's my boat. Now, as Rashbam points out, because if let's say he wouldn't sell it, his one who's contesting it, but rather he would take possession of it after that this guy really was contesting that it's his, that wouldn't have any validity whatsoever, because that we would testify that that came to him after this guy had claimed it was his, and that would be considered like a chatifa, grabbing away, which we say, okay, this is not your chazaka, because we know that it wasn't clear that it's yours. But he was concerned that the guy's going to sell it off before he gets the chance to prove that it's his, and then to be able to establish his ownership in it. So that's what this guy was asking from the courts. And that, the question is as follows. Tafsinan, do we tell the court to listen to this litigant and for the courts to actually take possession of it? Now, why do we say they should take possession? It's because what's the problem? Even if this guy doesn't end up bringing witnesses to prove that it's his, but then ultimately we'll just release it and put it back into the waters as it originally was, and whoever is the rightful owner of the boat doesn't lose anything by the court having taken possession of it in the interim. So therefore we do this guy a due diligence and allow him to get time to bring his witnesses, and we take possession of it in the interim. Eloi tafsinan. Or, says the Gemara, or maybe we don't grab it and take possession of it. We don't intervene. Why? Because maybe this guy who's coming and asking us this favor will not have witnesses, and then we will not ultimately go ahead, as we'll explain shortly, and we, the courts, will not then be allowed to release it. So that's going to come out that it's going to create a loss for the true owner of the boat because of us, the courts, that we got involved in this case. Because had we left it, so maybe the rightful owner would have been the ulam. He would have been the stronger one, and he would have overpowered, and the real owner of the boat would have gotten possession of it, and the rightful owner would have gotten it. Now that we're intervening, and the real owner doesn't have any way to prove it, now he's losing. So we're creating a loss where we shouldn't have gotten involved. So what's the halacha? Do we take possession, or do we not? So it's a machlekes, Rav Huna Amar Tafsinan. He says that we do take possession. The reason for this is because he actually holds like Rav Papa, who will shortly quote, that says, yeah, because even though we take possession, but we ultimately release it. So we're not causing any harm. It's going to go right back to in the waters as it originally was. Rav Yehuda Amar Lei Tafsinan. Rav Yehuda says that no, we do not take possession of it because he holds, as we'll shortly quote himself, that says because we don't release it once we take it. So therefore, we're not going to take possession of it. And the reason for that is because maybe this guy is really a liar. He doesn't really have witnesses. And all he really wants to do is cause a loss for his friend. And he knows that once we take possession of it, and that's the halacha according to Yehuda, then we're not going to be able to allow to then release it back into the waters. So it's just going to cause an unnecessary loss for the real owner, therefore we don't take possession of it. Now, as the Gemara explains the second half of what we're talking about, let's say it happens that the court take possession of it like Rav Huna, or even if not, because we pass it like Rav Yehuda, that the two of them told the courts, please take possession of it, because we don't want anyone doing something inappropriate, and they both agreeing for the courts to take possession of it in the meantime. And then he goes, or they go, and they look for witnesses, and none of them end up finding witnesses to prove in a court of law that it's theirs. So Amalahu, so then he tells to the courts, okay, look, we asked you to please take possession of it in the meantime. We can't verify it through those means. Afkua, so now release it back into the waters, and v'chol dom gvar. May the best man win, meaning whoever's stronger, whether with proofs or whether by sheer force, sheer might, like Rav Nachman paskins later on this daf that we'll quote in the next daf, that kol dom gvar, whoever's stronger wins. And that's the case in certain situations when we have no leaning either way. So that's they asked. They said, although you took possession, now please release it into the water. So the question is, mafkinan or le mafkinan? So do we release it once we took possession or do we not? So it's a machlekes. Yehuda Amar le mafkinan. He says that once the courts already took possession of monetary possessions of Jewish people, they're not allowed to then just go ahead and put it right back into the waters and put it in a hefker situation. Rather, they have to hold on to the money until they're able to verify who to return it to, because now it's the court's obligation once they already took possession of it. Rapapa amma mafkina. Rapapa, however, says that no, that they release it, just like it had originally been, because that was the intention when they had taken possession of it, was that if the guy doesn't ultimately bring witnesses, then they'll put it right back, and then it'll go right back to kol dom gvar. So although they took possession, but now that there's no benefits, they'll put it right back. Says the Gemara, v'helchas adalocha is loy tavsinan, that initially we do not take possession. But v'hechad atavis, where the court does take possession, the loy mafkinan, that then they do not release it, which is exactly like the two opinions of Rabbi Huda, as the Rashbam explained, that each one is actually contingent on the other concept. Where if you hold that you're not going to have mafkinan, that we're not going to release it, so then we initially are not tafsinan because it's not going to be a benefit. It could create a loss to the true owner, so we're not tafsinan. But again, if we are tafsinan, then we're not going to be mafkinan. And therefore, in this situation where the two people are fighting, we're going to let them just fight it out. And as we'll see in the next daf, where Rav Nachman says, kol dom gvar, whoever stronger wins, but we have no reason to intervene. If anything, it's going to cause a problem to the true owner, and therefore, like tefsinan, and again, if we are, that le mafkinan, then we hold on to it until one of them could prove in halacha, in the court of law, that it's rightfully theirs.